You're listening to Straight No Chaser on Dogs by Nature Radio.
Got home, was able to watch the tape. A lot of things we talked about last night are still true. We got to clean up a lot of some of the mistakes out there, and that's part of training camp, which we're still in training camp mode. So there's things that we need to work on.
Now, here's your host, my dad, Thelonious Seven.
My Dogs by Nature family, I hope this transmission finds you well. My name is Thelonious Seven, and you're listening to part two of the AFC North preseason preview on Dogs by Nature Radio. Today in the Straight No Chaser studios, we're joined by a trio of guests. First, representing the Greater Chesapeake region is Matt Jurgensen. He can be found at Matt Jurgs on Twitter. And representing the former Ketchup Capital, we have Vince Paparella, one half of the Steelers Devoted podcast. He can be found at Steelers Devoted on Twitter. And we're also joined by Travis and Dale from at Bengals Brews on Twitter. So with that, let's get into part two of the AFC North preseason preview. So let's start on the offensive side of the football. First, what do you think are the natural avenues to attack your team's offense? And second, how do you see the starting quarterbacks in the division ranked at the end of 2022? We'll start with the Steelers' perspective and Vince Paparella.
I think this is going to be a lot of running the ball for the Steelers at first, especially, getting kind of up to speed with who the quarterback's going to be. But the thing that's been different, especially for the last, 5-6 years for Pittsburgh, is that you kind of, regardless of who plays QB, you're going to have some actual mobility and not just Ben kind of standing there and, getting sacked or throwing the ball just 5 yards. So you're definitely going to have some options for how you want to attack. And that has been very, very different from last year. And I think that starts with running the ball. And then, you'll see a lot of jet sweeps. You'll see a lot of play action, with especially how Matt Canada likes to run things. And how I rank the QBs. First off, Joe Burrow. It's scary to think that Joe Burrow has only played a season and a half and has already been to a Super Bowl. He obviously has a very, very good connection with Jamar Chase. Honestly, I don't think he has really scratched what he could be yet, which is scary. Secondly, I would go Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is probably the most unique quarterback in the NFL, but he's extremely talented. He's got to work on some outside throws and getting more consistent with wide receivers. Then I would go Deshaun. Maybe in an early year I would put Deshaun ahead of Lamar Jackson, but I just haven't seen him in a year, and I know there's a lot of accusations still to be done with that. And then fourth, I would put whoever the Steelers put out there, maybe Trubisky at first and then Pickett second. Not saying that they're we don't know anything about those quarterbacks yet, so it's going to be interesting to figure out.
Thanks for the response, Vince. I'm also curious to see how long the vets can keep Pickett on the bench. So now we turn to Travis and Dale for the Queen City perspective on the Bengals off.
The weakness could potentially still be the line because of the three new acquisitions.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. It could definitely be miscommunication and such. Hopefully they got that all together. That's what training camp is there and everything else. The starting quarterbacks in the division, and this isn't a homie question or a homie answer. I'm going to go Burrow, Lamar, Watson, and whoever the Steelers pick. I think that Burrow's got too much fire underneath his ass to let anybody get first over that one. And Lamar, I don't know what's going on with the Ravens. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that apart. I just saw what happened with Hollywood. I don't even know if that, there's a lot going on in that organization. I don't know if Lamar can be the Lamar he was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I would still put him at two. I mean, this question's kind of for the end of the year, but it's kind of hard to say that we could put Deshaun at two if we don't even know if he's going to play at the end of the year. So that's a huge question mark. Like, I could see that flip-flopping by the end of the year, depending this whole suspension thing, But other than that, I think you have to go Burrow, who had a great season, and Lamar, former MVP. Then you probably have to go Deshaun, and then, like you said, Tiny Hands, Mason Rudolph, whoever they're putting.
Yeah, I think the big problem with the Browns when it comes to that situation is they're going to have to give to get. And if they give Watson the ball more to throw, they're going to get blah, blah, blah. They'll get throwing. They're going to give away running. Sorry, I was trying to get the thing together and it wasn't clicking in my head. They're going to give away the running.
Easy for you to say, right? Easy for you to say.
Yeah, no, the Chubb, and I saw some stuff with Hunt, but the Chubb run game is going to be nulled down by the wanting of throwing from, what was it, 2020's most passing yards quarterback, Deshaun Watson. So if he can throw like that, and he's going to throw like that, it's not going to be that much running. So all depends on what happens with that one.
You guys are right. This Watson chatter could be a series of moot points. So let's hear from Matt Jurgensen and get his perspective on how the Ravens can be stopped on offense.
Question three. I think the way you stop the Ravens' offense has been the way you stop it for the last couple of years. You start with loading the box and making sure you slow the run game. You double-team Mark Andrews because Andrews has really turned into a top three elite tight end in the NFL. And he's a guy that Lamar Jackson looks to on third down. You make sure you put a spy on Lamar so he doesn't leak out for a long gain on those runs. And you make the wide receivers beat you. And that's sort of been the recipe. The other piece of this, particularly from last year, was to blitz, particularly on third down. I think some of that narrative included that people thought that Lamar Jackson had trouble diagnosing the blitz. I think it has more to do with the offensive line. That offensive line really struggled last year. So I think with a rebuilt offensive line, Lamar Jackson healthy, he's actually added 15 pounds and looks really good. Some people were questioning whether it would slow him down. I think it'll be a good thing for him. But moving forward, I mean, really the bigger question is going to be Lamar Jackson's contract. It looks like, at least we would hope, that things are going to progress on that and that he will be signed long term. He's kind of the next guy up in terms of the quarterbacks of the most recent class. So we'll see if that gets taken care of or if that remains kind of a background distraction throughout the season. This offense was 17th in the league last year. Again, riddled with injuries. I mean, you know, you don't have J.K. Dobbins. You don't have Gus Edwards. You don't have Nick Boyle. You want to run the football. And you don't have, you know, you're using Devontae Freeman and, you know, Latavius Murray. So you're using guys that are kind of mid-range at best to run an offense that's really predicated on the run. So I mentioned this a little bit before. I really think this year is going to be the moratorium on this style of play is going to come to fruition. One, do you re-sign Lamar Jackson? But this idea of like this style of play and how they've decided to really go run first, lots of tight ends, and go that route to score, where the rest of the league is doing obviously a very different thing. In terms of the quarterbacks, I think it's pretty clear you have to put Joe Burrow first, considering what he was able to do last year and in getting to the Super Bowl. I kind of have Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson as 2A and 2B. I might only give Lamar a slight advantage because Deshaun Watson hasn't taken a snap in a few years. But I'll be interested to see. Obviously, we'll see what shakes out with that situation. And then with the retirement of Ben Roethlisberger, that kind of puts whoever is going to be under center at Pittsburgh, you know, whether it turns out to be Mason Rudolph or Mitch Trubisky, or if they end up going with the rookie and just kind of, you know, letting him learn on the job, as has been the case with a lot of teams over recent memory.
Thank you for that thorough response, Matt. So let's flip the field and go to the defense side of the football. We'll start with Travis and Dale from Bengals and Brews to get their perspective of the strongest defense in the AFC North.
I'll answer that real quick and easy. It's going to be a battle of Ohio. Ravens have a decent one. Steelers have a decent one. We all know the AFC North is still a bunch of brutes, but when it comes to the strong defenses in the trenches, Ohio's got it down to a T. Besides, Steelers have Watt. We all know that. And he's an absolute monster. But the other two, Ohio's definitely the trenches and the defense and the corners and the safeties. Everybody's a pretty solid defense all around. So I think that overall on that, it's just going to have to depend on what everybody's numbers look like. But you got Dino Brown's got Clowney, and Clowney is an absolute fool.
I mean, Clowney, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, who's a top five corner easily in the NFL. I look for Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, also easy for me to say, apparently. Probably butchered that. Sorry, Browns fans. But
I think you did great. I think you did fabulous.
but JOK, that's much easier. He could take that next step. He's an absolute athletic freak, and they got a steal in the second round of the draft last year with that guy. So I could see him balling out. I definitely think, like you said, if the Bengals can replicate what they did on defense in their playoff run, then they're battling the Browns to be the top dog. But if I was just going as a preseason, you know, thing before the season starts, I would give the edge to Cleveland. I think they'll have a better defense, but...
Wow, I certainly didn't expect that response. So now I'm curious to hear what Vince has to say from the Steelers' perspective.
Oh, I think the Steelers' defense will be absolutely phenomenal. Miles Jack is really, really, really going to, I think, help that middle linebacker room. They've gotten health. They have a really deep defensive line. They signed Larry Ogunjobi. They did lose Stephon Tuitt. But I think the depth chart there will be sufficient to kind of take care of that. Obviously, you saw TJ Watt. Cornerback, as long as they stay healthy, I think they'll be fine, you know, with Akilah Witherspoon, Cam Sutton. They signed Levi Wallace from the Buffalo Bills. So I think they'll be good. So I would say the Steelers first. Gosh, I think the Browns are going to have a very good defense. I think they'll be third to Baltimore. If Baltimore stays healthy, it's so hard to tell last year because Baltimore was so ravaged by injuries. So I'll go Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, and then Cincinnati. Not that Cincinnati has a bad defense, but they could possibly be without Jesse Bates. And that kind of just... But it's a very, very good... It's a very, very good division for defenses.
Vince, even though your response is closer to what I'm thinking, I'm hoping for a changing of the guard this year. So now let's finish things off on the defensive side of the football with Matt Jurgensen and the Ravens' perspective.
I think in ranking the defenses in the AFC North, I mean, I'd probably have to go with the Browns first, the Bengals second, the Steelers third, and then the Ravens last. You know, we talked a lot about the injuries, and it really was an unusual year on both sides of the football injury-wise for the Ravens. And, you know, but there was a reason why Don Martindale got fired. I mean, this was traditionally a team that was top 10 over the last couple years with Don Martindale at the helm, and they finished 25th, which is really the first time they finished that low since 1997. And those are some bad defenses in the late 90s. And I think, again, that aggressive style that Martindale would bring when you had the players to do it, it certainly was really successful. It's not necessarily the case when you're playing with practice squad cornerbacks and, you know, fifth and sixth round players. And the Ravens definitely were stung by that. And you know, they weren't able to get to the quarterback. They weren't able to generate turnovers. And that's as you look now, you know, as we hopefully start with, you know, players that are healthy, particularly when it comes to the secondary. Marcus Peters is back. Marlon Humphrey is back. I already talked about the three safeties. The hope is that the secondary in particular is going to be much improved and that overall the defense is going to be so much better than what we saw a year ago. But still right now, I still would see, you know, Myles Garrett leading the charge for the Browns. And it will be interesting to see the Bengals. You know, the Ravens are going to get that advantage of playing that fourth place schedule this year. The Bengals aren't going to sneak up on anybody at all. I thought the defense made strides. Will they be able to continue that development going into this year? And the Steelers, I mean, we know about TJ Watt. We know about some of their players. They had major struggles against the run. So what are they going to be able to do to try to get back to where they expect? Or is this going to be a little bit more of a rebuilding year for Pittsburgh?
Somehow, some way, the Steelers will always be a tough out. So we'll wrap our discussion with predictions and final thoughts. We'll start with Vince with the Steelers' perspective.
So I will say that Cincinnati wins the division, maybe like 11-6. I think Pittsburgh will be 9-8, 8-9. They're right around 500, as history tells us. Baltimore could be 9-8. So I'll give Baltimore the edge. I'll say Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. And I think the main reason for Cleveland is because they will be without Deshaun Watson. Division MVP for offensive MVP, gosh, I think if Joe Burrow stays healthy the entire time, I think it could definitely be him or Ja'Marr Chase. MVP, it's going to be hard. That'd be TJ Watt. It could be between TJ Watt and Myles Garrett, but you know, TJ Watt tied the sack record with only playing 13 games last year, so I'll lean TJ Watt there. And then outstanding rookie, I think it's going to be George Pickens. I think George Pickens, regardless of who the quarterback is just going to light up the football field this year. So, outstanding rookie, I'll go George Pickens. Thoughts? You know, it's going to be an interesting year. It's coming from a Pittsburgh perspective. It's definitely a unique situation that they haven't been in like 17, 18 years. You know, obviously they have not known who the starting quarterback is. I will say it's a bit enjoyable just to kind of see the camp battles and whatnot. And I am excited for week one on September 11th in Cincinnati.
Nice work, Vince. Thank you for taking the time to share with us here on Dogs by Nature Radio. Now let's hear predictions and final thoughts from Travis and Dale from the Bengals and Brews podcast.
Predictions. AFC North. Where's the standings in AFC North? End of the year. Go.
I'm going to say Bengals won. Somewhere around 12-5.
Damn, Dale, I said fast as hell. You already took 20 seconds. Fast, Dale, go. Number 1-4, fast, go, boom.
All right, so just name them without the list.
Jesus Christ, you took 30 seconds. Bengals, Bengals, Ravens, Browns, Steelers. That's the prediction.
Bengals, Ravens. Same.
Okay, good. All right.
Moving along, playoffs. What you got?
Playoff predictions. I'm going to say we take the North. We go second in AFC. And I think that Ravens get a wild card. And I think that the Browns battle it out. It takes last week or the second to last week to find out that they also get into the wild card. I think the AFC North.
I don't think the Browns touch the wild card. I don't think the Browns touch the wild card this year. I think the Ravens will be on the borderline of it. The AFC is loaded with talent. So
Division
offensive MVP Burrow.
Burrow. 100% Burrow.
Burrow.
Division defense MVP. Watt.
Defensive
Miles MVP, Garrett. Watt. Oh, I'm going Watt. I think that Watt's better than Myles Garrett, and that's a bold take. I know. Outstanding rookie. I'm gonna go York from Cleveland.
That's fair. I'll say Dax Hill just in the event Bates don't play, but I do like the Ward pick, York pick, low key because dude's got a cannon like McPherson.
Yeah, I think it's gonna go back to back years of the kicker.
Right there with you on Cade York. Guys, thanks for the contribution. So we'll wrap things up from the Crab Cake Capital and get the predictions and final thoughts from Matt Jurgensen.
All right, it's prediction time. So I've got in fourth place the Pittsburgh Steelers at 7-10. In third, the Baltimore Ravens at 9-8. In second, the Cleveland Browns at 10-7. And in first, the Cincinnati Bengals at 11-6. Obviously, the Bengals will go to the playoffs, and I think the Browns will get in as well. In terms of looking at top performers, I think the offensive MVP is Joe Burrow. I think he showed a lot last year. I think he continues on that path. Defensive MVP, I really like Myles Garrett, again, leading the Cleveland defense. And for Rookie of the Year, there's not a lot of strong rookies, I think. I think maybe you could go Kenny Pickett if he ends up, you know, starting the year as the quarterback for Pittsburgh. But I really like Kyle Hamilton. I just have a feeling that he's going to really be able to have an impact right away. They're going to find different ways to use him. And I think he's going to be a strong contributor for Baltimore from the years to come. In terms of my Baltimore Ravens, I mean, last year, you just couldn't get worse when it came to bad luck and injuries. And I think I remember being on the show around this time last year and kind of excited about the season and thinking that, you know, they might be able to make the playoffs and go on a run. And they had Marcus Peters, you know, tear his ACL. And then Gus Edwards tore his ACL. And really then the entire rest of the backfield tore their ACL. And it was just that kind of year. And even with all those injuries and a lot of that controversy, they still were able to be close to still getting into the playoffs. And in fact, if they were able to win one game down the stretch with Tyler Huntley as the quarterback, they still may have gotten in. I'm not sure what they would have done if they would have gotten in, but they would have gotten in nonetheless. So I'm really interested to see how this team shakes out. They've got a new defensive coordinator. How are they going to look? How is it going to be different from Don Martindale's ultra-aggressive style of blitzing? How is this offense going to look? I think if you ask a lot of people in Baltimore, they're going to say they fired the wrong coordinator. I think Greg Roman is about run out of time. I mean, he's been able to engineer an offense that scores a lot of points, but he's really shown an inability to be able to scheme passing routes. I think if you've listened to anybody from Kurt Warner to Steve Smith Sr., they've just, you know, just ripped that the passing game apart in terms of what they're doing schematically. And again, when you look at this wide receiving core, it's not well regarded at all. They have a lot to prove. And of course, there's Lamar Jackson himself. I mean, he was the MVP in 2019, and every offensive metric, he's made a decline. This is a contract year for him. I'm sure, you know, he's talked about he's in the best shape, I think, of his career ever. And early in the season last year, up until about week 7, he was, I would say, in the MVP conversation. And then from that week on, it was injury, it was inconsistency, it was sickness, it was a bunch of different things that just led him to really, it was just a tale of two seasons for him almost. So I'll be interested to see how all those things play out, but I'm really excited, as always, for the NFL to start in the coming weeks.
Thank you for that, Matt. It's outstanding work as always, and with that, we'll put this one in the books. Big thanks to Vince Paparella for his Steelers perspective.
Thank you guys again. This is devoted to Steelers Twitter. Reach out to me, or if you have any questions and follow us, please. That is at devoted to Steelers on Twitter.
It's great to hear from you, Vince. Thank you for taking the time to share with us here on Dogs by Nature Radio. And we are also joined by Travis and Dale from the Bengals and Brews podcast.
But guys, thank you for listening to this. This is Bengals and Brews with our predictions of the AFC North. Let's get it to it. Watch us on all platforms and everything else, and you'll be seeing us throughout the year. Hooday, baby.
That's some pretty big talk for a team that got swept last year, but we appreciate the banter. In rounding out our coverage, we heard from Matt Jurgensen from the Chesapeake.
Once again, this is Matt Jurgensen, and I am the co-host of The Blitz, a Ravens podcast. You can find it on Apple and Spotify. You can find me on Twitter, at Matt Jurgs, and you can hear my thoughts on the Baltimore Ravens and many other things as well. Again, I thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure, always a lot of fun talking football. It means it's right around the corner, and I wish everybody good luck, good fortune as much as I can, and happy football, everybody.
You've been listening to the AFC North Preseason Symposium on Dogs by Nature Radio. Signing out from the Straight No Chaser Studios, I'm your host, Thelonious7. Take care and go Browns.